Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. Online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Anyone can sell you a bike. It's the dealer that makes the difference. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com.
Your teams, your town, your program.
2-2, swing and a miss. And Zanino down on strikes. The side is retired. That's eight now for Kershaw. Mookie Betts, the first batter that Fleming faces, and Betts sends a fly ball to right field. It's pretty well hit. It's carrying. It's gone. Opposite field home run, Mookie Betts. And it is 7-1. And the Dodgers, behind a great performance from Clayton Kershaw, another home run from Cody Bellinger, and they win game one, 8-3.
I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity to kind of show what I can do in some space, you know, running routes. I think this offense is really fit for my skill set. I think Coach Reed does a good job of, you know, getting backs the ball in space, and I'm glad I got this opportunity.
Sorry, I was doing my Le'Veon Bell opening where I just stand there for a couple of seconds before I go. And now, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a, I guess it's what, kind of a cool, crisp, wet Wednesday, but the temperature is going to be climbing, I guess, from here on out all the way till we hit 84, and then it plunges back to 48. Is that what I heard from Gary Lezak?
Yep, because that's what we do in this part of the country.
That's what we do in the Midwest. So schedule all your outdoor activities for tomorrow. Should probably take the day off. Might be the last really warm day we get around here.
We have times where the temperature goes up for 36 straight hours and then goes down for 36 straight hours.
Yeah.
It's just what we do.
We call it personality. That's what we call it. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley Davidson. Right now is the time. Right now, get free labor with any accessory upgrade. Want to change out the pipes, handlebars, or get an engine upgrade? Labor is free on all accessory upgrades this month at Worth Harley Davidson. Shop in person at all accessory upgrades this month. In person at Worth or Outlaw Harley Davidson. Either way, Worth or Outlaw Harley Davidson. You can shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com or OutlawHarleyDavidson.com. Make sure you see the dealer for details. Always a great time to get to a Worth or Outlaw Harley Davidson. And always a great time to get to the feud. We'll do that next hour. Your chance to win a gift certificate to Henna. So listen, you could use it to grab dinner on your way home. A little lunch right now at the delicatessen if you want. Head back to the meat counter and load up on some high cuts of meat, whether that's some steak or some ground chuck for some burgers, some seafood. It's the best meat counter in town. It's at your neighborhood hen house. We'll have Frank Bowl with us in the 4 o'clock hour. We will play some Frank Opinions. At that time, we will get you Bob Glauber in the 5 o'clock hour, NFL insider to the program. Much going on for Bob this year. He's penning a new book. And so we can't pin him down to our normal slot. Like Friday's his big book writing day. So we take him where we can get him. And that right now is a Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So we'll lock him in and we'll talk some football here today with Bob Glauber, our NFL insider.
And he is actually penning it. He's not using it. He's writing this book on a yellow legal pad with a Bic pen.
I thought maybe a leather-bound, parchment paper with a ink with a feather
right.
And ink
with a quill, the feather quill, right?
A quill.
I like
some,
that.
Some ink. The old English style letters. So it should be great. I'm looking forward to it.
His apparently,
he's
about like... two.
He's been at it for a couple of months, and apparently he's two paragraphs in.
His editor's like, "The hell is this?" Taking it back old. Going old school, boss.
Well, and Curtis said that he was using a Bic pen. I'd like to think that Bob Globber of New York Newsday is a big enough deal that he could afford one of your fancy $15 pens, K-Dog.
That I lose every once in a while.
You talk about being the financial genius, and you don't sniff out the issue there with the putting that kind of money into a pen when you're about the most forgetful guy on the planet?
I still have the first one I inherited from Jed. And it ran out of ink. And the second one, I bought one, and then I left it somewhere. So now I'm on my third. I'm on my second purchase. It's one of the finest pens I've used.
What is it so everyone out there can enjoy?
It is a Pentel. It is a Pentel, kind of a gel roller that kind of twists. It is very nice. It glides nicely. It doesn't really gunk up. It's one of the finest pens. It has a good balance. You know, feels good in your hand. Good balance. You're a big how the pen feels in your hand guy. You get
yes,
that.
Yes, I am. I get whatever pen that I found, and I just bitch about how it doesn't feel very good until it runs out. Then I get the next pen that I found. I don't go out and drop $15 to on a pen to work. I do have a certain kind of pen I like, but it literally lasts like a week, and then it's done.
I'm not living in an apartment at 54 because I'm slick.
These are things we know. These are things we have confirmed. Listen, hey, it's your world, man. Whatever makes you happy. I hope that pen makes you really happy. All right, let's talk a little bit about the CBS Sports Power Rankings. Have you seen the Power Rankings? This will dovetail into some Chiefs sound. Jed, I could have given you a list, but, I think it's a lot more fun when we just wing it, don't you?
Yeah, it's always the best. People enjoy it, I think, also when you call out numbers, me especially, and then we get to a point where you go, no, I think I'm wrong. Kay, which one is it that I want?
It's 12. Yeah.
That's what makes us folksy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, some would say human. It really endears us to the listeners to see how foolish and clumsy we are. Hey, we had 2 hours where we could have talked about this. Nah, we'll do it now.
they're just as inefficient as I am.
That's totally wrong. We had 1 hour and 25 minutes,
and those were used prepping for the show. Otherwise, but because you know, well, as you've said, there's never enough time. We just run out.
No, we're just out of time, and it's time to go. We're never done getting ready. I will tell you that my 1 hour and 25 minutes went to warming some Joe's Kansas City burnt ends. Thank you, Joe's, yet another lunch. For me, and I've still got more left. Honestly, you know what? It's kind of, I'm like enjoying how long I'm making them last, that I just, it's almost kind of pathetic. I should just eat more. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get another lunch. I'm going to get another. If I just take this much, that is another lunch. I'm so happy. And then of course I dropped a package off to be parceled. A package that do you know what day I set out to mail this package?
Last Wednesday.
No, it was back in July.
Oh, I was going to say sometime in March.
I committed to mailing this package in July, and I would like to say that thing is finally in the mail, man.
I was late for your August 17th birthday.
That thing is in the mail, man. I finally got it done. I was like, you know what? I got an hour 25 minutes. I should give Jed some sound, but I'm not. I'm going to mail something, and so that's what happened, man. We got it done. All right, let's talk about the Pete Prisco. Everybody likes Pete Prisco in Kansas City, right?
Not necessarily.
No? You don't think so?
I think there are a few who don't.
He's no Jason Lockenfora, but yeah, I don't think he's well received.
I don't think he's quite recovered from the 2013 Chiefs are the most overrated 9-0 team, which we've had this discussion. It unfair. To a large extent, he just didn't say they suck. He said they were, the most overrated or whatever.
They were the worst undefeated,
yeah,
9-win team. Somebody's got
to
be.
Someone has to be, right? Yeah.
Somebody sucks out of the 9. If we're like, we're just taking this group, well, somebody's the best and somebody sucks. Yeah. I just can't. You got to take it within context. He didn't say this team just blows. It's worse than any 4-win team ever.
Yeah, there are three people.
By the way,
that this city will never forgive.
Didn't they kind of back it up?
Yeah, absolutely, by kind of falling apart and then losing in their first playoff game, giving up 45. Yeah.
blowing a historically the second biggest lead in the history of the postseason. That would kind of validate what the man said.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a huge Pete Prisco fan. I'm just not a he's fine. He does a good job, I think. I guess I am a fan. But I'm not you know, beating his bandwagon here. I mean, just, I don't know, can you beat a bandwagon? I'm not on his bandwagon.
No,
I'm not beating his bandwagon, nor am I on his drum. Neither one. Nope. You can't accuse me of either one of those things. Here's what I'm curious of, and this is what I find. This is where I run into a lot of problems with my AP ballot. So Pete Prisco's NFL Top 25, the top three all moved up one, right? Top four moved up one. Let me see here. Ooh, number five moved up two. Number six moved up three. Number seven moved up four. Number one moved down seven. Okay, so can you guess who that is? Last week's number one is now eight. Do you know who it is?
Green Bay.
The Green Bay Packers. What the heck happened? I almost went another direction. What the heck happened to this team in Tampa? That was a disaster and puts a damper on the 4-0 start. So they fall. Do you really think that they're the eighth best team?
No.
Who's better, the Packers or the Bears?
The Packers are better than the Bears.
The Packers are going to urinate in the ear of the Bears, would be my expectation. One time they'll play close in Chicago, and then they'll slap them in Green Bay. And maybe those will be flip-flopped, and you'll be surprised it'll be the road game. But I expect the Packers to handle the Bears, and that's nothing against Matt Nagy, who I'm a fan of, Nick Foles, who I'm a fan of. I like a lot of the things that the Bears are doing, and they're a quality team. But I think the Packers are good, and they had a bad day. Why? How many years do you have to cover sports to realize that one loss is not the end of the world? Like, how long do you have to cover sports to see that bad days happen? And let me put in context, again, remember when the Chiefs lost 40-32 to the Raiders and we heard, I don't know, this is not your normal loss. This is a big, bad loss. Well, they got hammered, right? The Packers got hammered by the Bucks, and what was it, 28 points or something in the second quarter alone? It was a Chiefs-like explosion the Bucks laid down on the Packers, and the Packers never even began to get off the turf. All right, and so they fall all the way down to 8. And this is what troubles me on my top 25, because Oklahoma loses two really close games to two teams that I think are pretty good. I have them in the rankings, and I got to hear from all of Provo, because BYU is at like number three in the country because they've beaten a bunch of turds. Sorry, Navy. You know, I don't understand. Are we confident? If you want to put the Seahawks one against ahead of the Chiefs, I mean, okay. They haven't lost. Maybe, I guess I'm okay with the Steelers because they haven't lost. But who do you think is a better team, the Chiefs or Steelers? Isn't that what this is all about? In particular, when you're not determining who will play in the playoffs with your vote, right? This is not college football. And even today, we have a committee that's going to do it. But, like, is undefeated in the NFL really, like, the only calling card? Or should you take the time to see who's beat who and understand that the Steelers aren't going 16-0? Right? That the Seahawks aren't going 16-0. So who's the best team in the NFL?
It's the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs.
Yeah. And they don't even follow their 5-0 because the Titans are 5-0 and they're fifth. They're behind two teams that have losses. So what's I don't get their rating system. And he trashes the Packers for losing to a team that's ranked above them. They didn't lose to the Eagles or somebody. They lost to a team that's ranked one ahead of them. How do you drop a team 8 spots by losing to a team you think is better than they are?
All right, so let me ask you a question. What did the Seahawks do last week?
They were off.
They were off. They were on a bye, right?
Yeah.
So how did, in the quarterback rankings on the same website, albeit from a different author, how did Patrick Mahomes jump Russell Wilson? Now, first of all, the quarterback rankings, here they are. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and probably don't bother with anybody else. And don't call me until we're like 10 weeks in as to where I'm going to put anybody. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is back up there. He's been down for a couple of years, but he's got the pedigree. He goes up there. But how does Patrick Mahomes pass if you're down with Russell Wilson, who's got more touchdowns? Right, in one less game, how would you come off Russell Wilson on a bye? What did he do? Did he not shower on Thursday, or what the hell happened?
No touchdowns. Didn't throw a single one. all weekend.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have Mahomes number one every week. And if he has a bad game, you know what? He's still number one. He's still number one. And Russell Wilson's still number two, even after a bad game. It just, to me, it seems like there's this, like people are afraid to rank. And then when everybody goes one direction, everybody's got to rank it the same way. Right? It's like, okay, well, they lost, so I've got to ding them. Why aren't we ranking them based upon what we think is the strongest team? The only true, honest evaluation is Vegas. Right? Who's going to be favored between the Packers and Bears? The Packers are going to be favored. They should be ranked ahead of them. Right? The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be favored against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hence, they should be ranked ahead of them. That's really what it all comes down to, right? If you were to have a ranking, and you're then going to discuss it and defend your ranking, if someone who has a different ranking says, okay, these teams are going to play, I'll bet you, I feel like you're obligated to take that bet. Otherwise, change your rankings. Usually speaking, you're not going to get a game to where you have to put your money down. But you get my point. Like, Bears, Packers, if you're going to put the Bears in front of the Packers, I better read the column when they play next. I'm all over the Bears. The Bears and the points is a gimme. Wrong team favored here. Gimme Chicago.
Straight up.
Yeah. Otherwise, your rankings are crap, aren't they?
Yes. And how about this little flaw? The Patriots and the Broncos. The Patriots are at 16. They fell two spots. The write-up, losing to the Broncos is a big blip on their resume. Four spots lower, you find the Broncos, who jumped five spots. Winning at New England, which is two wins in a row, is a good sign for this young group. Now, what is it? If losing to the Broncos means you drop two spots, you don't think much of the Broncos, do you? So why do they jump five spots?
Right.
I mean, just looking at those two games, I'm like, were each one of these things done by a different person?
Yeah. Now, I will say this. This also magnifies what is the process of ranking all 32 teams, or in the case of the top 25, all 25 teams.
It's a tough
if you
thing
set
to
out
do.
To say BYU should be better than this fat ass has them, well, that's an easy one. Well, BYU, you can construct an argument that you could take to a judge and he could listen. However, there are those on the other side that would construct the argument that goes, BYU hasn't played anybody. Mm-hmm. Right? Same thing here. Like, it is somewhat, when you just micro-focus on the two teams, you leave out all the other games beyond just the head-to-head game, which they all matter as well, and then the process of putting all the teams in some order. You know, you can't just parcel it out and say, well, team A beat team B, so A has to be in front of B. Well, what if A is 3-6 and B is 7-1? Like, just because A beat B, they still only have three wins and have been beaten six times, right? So it is part of what's in there. I bring this up because I asked Patrick Mahomes today, right? And let's hear this, because we know how we all get fired up about different things that are going on. This is number eight, Jed. Because I think he is driven like Michael Jordan is driven, right? And I cite two main examples. One, when he beat the Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy and scored a touchdown coming off the field, and he counted to 10. I went 10th? Okay, that's what I took from that. I'm number 10? Okay, as he ran off the field. Then it was this year in beating Baltimore when he threw a touchdown, he came off the field and he counted to 4. Fourth was his ranking in the players' top 100, right? There seemed to be a statement he was making. It seemed to be he was not only delivering the goods on the field, but off the field he was saying scoreboard. That's how I took it. I asked Mahomes if he's ever been driven by something that, or does he find a way? I even referenced Michael Jordan, you know, going out and making up things that people had said about him. They didn't, but he made it up to give himself a reason to go out and just destroy someone. I asked Mahomes if he's ever been driven by something someone said, or does he find that way to get that extra motivation?
Yeah, I mean, I think like in the day and age that we're in, I mean, you're going to see stuff on social media and stuff like that. And you try to just still stay within yourself and then go out there and prove those people wrong. But in the same time, and the long picture, I mean, there's a lot of great players that have came before me, and that I'm trying to do whatever I can to try to get to those levels. And so I'm in a great position here with a great organization, with a lot of great guys around me. But I know that I'm going to take advantage of every single day if I want to get to where I want to be at the end of my career.
All right. So what do you think? By the way, I also preface my question. I know you always do a great job of answering all these questions in the in a politically correct way.
And then he did that.
And then he did that.
I'm going to show. I'm going to prove you right by telling what you just described.
Boy, you nailed it, Tubby. You bet. Here's the political.
You're going to love this answer.
Yeah. Well, sit back. Good Lord willing, going to take it one game at a time. Just happy to be here. Good night, folks. Yes, it is a fact. I have the worst Patrick Mahomes impression. I will stop right now. My point is this. He did mention social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he sees it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've seen him respond to enough things other players have said to know that, you know, he's got a Twitter account that he looks at. And I'm sure he's got some friends who, hey, you see this? Hey, you see this? They text in little links like we do amongst our circle of friends. We have various texting groups. Hey, do you see this? You know he gets that stuff. So I'm sure he sees it.
Yeah.
And I'm totally cool with him being motivated by it. I love that there's a little bit of that Jordan in him.
I think there has to be some of that, right? You have to want to prove everybody wrong.
Yep.
Not just most people, not just the people that count. Like, that is a part of how you do it, is you go out there and you find the doubter, the one doubter, and you use that as fuel.
Yeah.
Everybody, almost everybody says you're the best. Except Pete Prisco, or who was this guy who had the quarterback list on CBS. Give him credit. His name is Cody Benjamin. Cody Benjamin says Russell Wilson's better. So you go out now. This week he says Patrick Mahomes is the top of the list. And it's a fun thing, and I like rankings. I like lists. It's cool. But I just have a different way of doing it. As people know, no one's ever happy with my coach of the year. In the Big 12 in basketball. So, you know, because I give it to the guy who wins the league, because that's what you're supposed to do. The best coach wins the league. It's not fun. It's not glamorous. It's 100% freaking accurate, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I do things, right? But I think this is one. I think you see that Patrick Mahomes, you know, whether it's social media, right? And then also, what did he say? There are a lot of people out there that have done a lot of things, and I'm striving to be in that kind of greatness.
Yeah.
He is very much aware. Like, the numbers, I don't think he's number-driven from the standpoint. Like, I don't think he's going to command an offense that he throws 10 touchdowns in. Right? He's not going to play wishbone football. And he shouldn't, because he knows that he can contribute to the win by throwing the football. But I don't think he minds. And we mentioned, you know, people have been kind of knocking. Well, he's just taking what they're given. And I'll bet there's a little bit of him that's like, you son of a. Like, I'll take what I want. I'll go out there. This is just what we had to do because the job is to win first. And he's right. Mm-hmm. Right? What's the ultimate thing on his business card? It says champion and MVP before the age of 25. Only guy ever to do it. But that championship is huge.
He won.
And what ultimately
six.
Put Tom Brady definitively ahead of Peyton Manning, it was the championships, the titles. So if you want to be the man at the quarterback position, you got to win the championships. And he knows it. And if this is the route, he'll do it. Now, along the way, would he like to drop some dimes and pick up some touchdown passes and set some records? You're damn right he would. You're damn right he would. And you want that in your quarterback. He better want to go out and be great. And this kid does at every level, even though he's still humble when he talks about it. Rare combination.
For sure.
913-3810-810. We'll hear a little bit more from the Chiefs today. I want to get into the World Series a little bit, how it pertains to your Kansas City Royals. 913-3810-810. We open up the phone lines. Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU. Always a topic here on the program. You can grab a line right now if you want. 913-3810-810.
The program with Soren Petro.
He is the Spam Eating Champion of the World. Six cans of Spam straight from the can.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We'll take some phone calls here. 913-3810-810. The phone number. Let's start with Tommy Moe. You're on the program, Tommy. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, not much, Soren. I wasn't able to call in yesterday to nitpick the Chiefs' 26-17 win. Okay. Not a lot to nitpick from that game, but I'm about the only one that ever comes on the show that Dave Tobe. I think he had a great run in Chicago. I think he had a great run here early with the Chiefs. But about the time he eyeballed and picked out Harrison Buckner and picked him off of Carolina's practice squad, his performance or his special teams performances, to me, have been subpar. He might be this is probably an NFL record. He might be the only special teams coach to have two blocked punts for touchdowns in NFL playoff history. That's a very rare occurrence. And it was done back-to-back years.
How many special teams coaches have sniffed out a fake punt and blocked a punt in the same playoff game?
Probably he would probably own that title as well. And that had to make up for his two blunders he had prior to that game. So that was kind of a push.
Well, I mean, but Tommy, come on, you're a coach. Like, listen. You've coached. I coach Little League basketball. Like, I get a matchup I want, and I call the play, and it's ready to go, and the kid can't remember the play, doesn't know what it is, doesn't know she's supposed to go set a pick, and it goes to hell in a handbasket because the pass gets thrown by the point guard, and the other girl's not where she's supposed to be. Am I an idiot? I mean, do I share blaming it? Of course I am. But am I an idiot? Did I blow it? You know, there are players out there that are required to execute. And, yes, if you want to go to the nth degree, well, their job is to decide which players can follow directions and call the plays that they can run. But, you know, the other team gets – Le'Veon Bell said it today, too. You know, the defense gets paid as well. And don't you think you're grossly oversimplifying it if you take, okay, block punt for touchdown by Dave Tobe, and then that's it, therefore he sucks?
Now, what I think is that he, and I'll give him credit, he identified the problem why those punts were being blocked, half of the problem. And he even said it about 2 months ago. He was talking about Tommy Townsend. They said, what do you like about Tommy Townsend? And I think this is somewhat of a direct shot towards Destin Colquitt. He goes, he gets the punt off quick. And I think that was Destin Colquitt's shortcomings the last 2 years. If you watch him punt, his delivery, his catching the ball and playing the ball, he took an extra step, and it just seemed like it was slow. He also had three punts blocked within one calendar year, within 19 games. It was the same problem. They were coming up the A-gap, and he never – and after one time, you're like, fine, let's fix it. But when's the last time a NFL team had three punts blocked in 19 games? That's one every six games. That's a problem to me. That's a problem to me.
Needed it is, but how many have been blocked this year?
Zero, because he got a new –
So move on!
Okay.
Like, what, do you want to fire him this year because they made mistakes last year?
No, he's the only one to give up. Okay, once again, he's the only NFL coach this year to give up a kickoff return. And if you were to watch that play, it was poorly played by two people. Armani Watts lost contain, and Darwin Thompson, I don't know what he was even doing. All right, once again, Darwin Thompson last year caught that fumbled punt in the air. Obviously, he wasn't coached to go run it in because he hesitated, caught the ball, didn't know what he was doing when he caught the ball, put his arm up in the air like, hey, I got the ball, what do I do? And Darwin Thompson last year, two times during the season, caught a pass or ran a pass, fell down on his own, didn't get back up because he thought, well, I'm back in college. So preference before that happened, he had Darwin Thompson there making rookie mistakes, not knowing the rules. And he didn't know the rule there. Those are just
Tommy, players. Tyreek Hill took his helmet off in the end zone. I don't care how much it pissed off Andy Reid when I asked him that question. He took his helmet off in the end zone. Mecole Hardman in the same game against the Chargers didn't touch down a defender. Same deal. It happens all the time. We see it. We see it almost every week in the NFL. Why they don't know the difference between college and pro, I don't know. Is it said to them? Yes, I know it's said to them. That's the job of being a coach. You get incomplete and imperfect players, and you have to bring it together to make it work. And last year, that was what they were charged with, and they had a massive amount of injuries, and they won their last nine games, including the championship. I think they did a pretty good job.
I think they did, but I think some things he needs to clean up. And like I said, and then he had the then he said this year, and you and I had a big debate about this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, oh, he's going to be a special part of my specialty teams this year. I'm going to get him to tackle. I'm going to get him to play the up man here and there. Okay, well, that was when him and Damian Williams were running backs. Mm-hmm. Okay? I understand when Damian Williams opted out. I understand he's our number one running back. All right? So now we have Le'Veon Bell, whose pedigree is much higher than Damian Williams. And I know it's game six. So, Damian, are we going to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire back on specialty teams again?
I hope not.
No. I know.
Well, I hope not.
I don't either. So it was stupid.
But why? But so, like, this comes back. Listen, I've got the answer for you on this one, too, and you know it. It's like you don't take any of these coaches that every word that comes out of their mouth is literal. You know that they're going to say some things that they just say because they don't want to show their cards as to what's going on.
Okay. Well, like I said, all I was, if I was Dave Tobe, you would always say, well, if not him, then who? I would do one or two things. I would drive down to Manhattan, Kansas, and find out for the last 25 years, Kansas State specialty teams, no matter who the coach is, it seems like they quit for some reason. All right, and if he doesn't want to make that drive.
Yeah, but Tommy, for the last 20, first of all, I can find times that they didn't click, and you're taking a generalization. They are very good down there, and Sean Snyder's been in charge of them for many, many years, and I'd have to look at who carries the title now with Chris Klieman. In fact, they don't, on their website, they don't list a guy, so I don't know, maybe Klieman handles that himself the way what's he did up at Virginia Tech, Beamer did at Virginia Tech for years. But but Dave Tobe has been exactly what you're talking about, with the exception of last year, when, admittedly, they brought in a punter who, by the way, they identified and is now booming the ball for, what, the Lions, I think? Where's Jack Fox? Anyway, here he's somewhere. So they identified a punter who was NFL quality, brought him into camp, and they ended up staying with Colquitt. And maybe they stayed a year too long, and he is slow at getting off the ball. Now they brought in another undrafted punter who has a massive leg, but no, doesn't have the touch that Colquitt had down for the coffin corner kicks, and they're developing him. Same way they found a big-legged kicker in Harrison Butker, and they honed him into a very accurate one. And, yes, he's having some bumps along the way. I mean, you know, you're asking for perfection. I mean, their coverage units were still top of the charts last year. Special teams-wise, they were still a top-five all-around special teams unit, I believe, by Football Outsiders rankings. And you're acting like last year was this, you know, disastrous comedic fifth grade fire drill going on out there, and that wasn't the case at all.
All I know, I've listened to this program, not specifically your program, but other people on this station that have graded Dave Tobe and the specialty teams play over the last 20 games below average. Many, I want to say at least 3, 4, or 5 people on this radio program have given him a below grade. And like I said, I want things to be as close to be as perfect as possible. I know that's asking a lot, but he's a professional football coach. He's supposed to be the best in the business to identifying personnel, putting people in the right places, and committee. And this year, like I said, we were talking about the past. Well, this year, he's the only NFL coach to give up a kickoff return. Okay?
2019, listen, Tommy, okay, whoever you're listening to, here's what I'll rebut them with, and I'm not trying to run down anybody here on my own station.
Okay, yeah.
But 2019 Football Outsiders ranked the Chiefs as the number two special teams unit.
Okay.
This
All
year,
right. well, I guess
the, this year, hang on, just so you know, I'm not cherry picking numbers. This year, 29.
Okay. 29th this year?
Or 26, I'm sorry. If you go by, okay. They have two different rankings, 29 and one, 26 and another.
Okay. It's just not as crisp as we saw, like I said, the first couple years, and maybe having Tyreek Hill is a better punt return.
Do you think part of it is, Tommy, could part of it be that they now have so many top-heavy salaries that this is what you get on the bottom end? You can't go the extra $200,000-$300,000 for a veteran special teams guy, and so everybody out there is a guy on his first contract that's not really, you know, as honed as a lot of other guys. Do you think that could be part of it?
No, because we brought in a guy from the Giants that was supposed to be his specialty, and I don't remember Antonio Robinson, if that's his name. I don't remember
Hamilton.
In 6 games him making an impact specialty teams play yet. So that's what he was brought in for. That's what was told us. Oh, this guy's unbelievable. He's from the Giants. He's specialty teams. You know, has he made one impact play in 6 games on specialty teams play? I don't remember it. If you're more than welcome to let me know.
Yeah, I listen, I'm not
okay,
Hamilton.
Okay, well, there's one. You asked me for a question, all right? And
if you thought a league minimum signing was going to be the end-all, be-all for this roster, then I think you've got your head up your ass, Tom.
That's what was told us.
If, like, this is, wait a minute, let me point out. You're sitting watching the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, and the bug in your ass is that Antonio Hamilton hasn't blown somebody up on a punt coverage?
No, it was you asked me a question, and I gave you the answer. That's no bug up my ass. You just asked me a very simple question, and I gave you a very simple answer.
What was my question? I don't even remember. My head's spinning.
You said,
so
who
much
they brought
this.
In? You know, you were asking me about personnel and yeah. who they're supposed to be teams that we can't afford. You know, we drafted two guys. One guy broke his clavicle. You brought in two DBs. We lost Lucas last year. Jordan Lucas went to the Bears. He was the special teams guy. That's fine. But we brought in Bo P. Keys, and we brought in Ladarius Sneed. Two rookies, underpaid. You know, they were rookies. I get it. But that's what we, like you said, to argue your point, that's what we're with. But we also brought in Antonio Robbins, whatever his name is, from the Giants that was supposed to be the specialty teams, you know, standout.
Antonio Hamilton.
Hold up. Hamilton, thank you. Thank you. That was his, you know, but I haven't seen anything out of Antonio Hamilton yet on specialty teams that warranted, you know, I guess he was.
I'm with you. We should get Veach down to our office and let's get his ass out on the street because we can't have this any longer.
Nope. I'm just pointing out small little things.
Well, what's he supposed to say about him? Yeah, he's not very good.
No, I didn't say. I'm answering the question. You guys.
Oh, I know, but
I know, and now we're moving on, Tom. What's he supposed to say? There's another question for you.
What's he supposed to say? Who to who?
You're complaining that he says Hamilton's a great special teams player. What is he supposed to say?
I don't want you guys to expect him to be a great special teamer because he's only mediocre.
Hey, I mean, he is who we have now.
Coach,
I don't
people always talk up the players they acquire.
I agree. Yeah, that's fine. That's what a coach says. I have no problem with that. I'm just pointing out small little things that have transpired over the last 20 to 24 games.
And you're and at the end of the day, you want to do what? Fire Dave Tobe?
No. Well, I want him to get better. I like Dave Tobe. Okay.
Well, we want everybody to get better. What do you want to do, Tom? Everybody, Andy Reid comes to the podium and says, we all got to get better. It all starts with me. They say that every freaking week.
I agree. And like I said, I just
so then I've spent 10 minutes on something you think they're already addressing?
I would hope they're addressing. I would hope
Thank
that
you,
they're
Tom.
Addressing. I hope they're looking at it. They addressed it with Tommy Townsend. They got rid of Dustin Colquitt. A great chief. I'm glad he got a Super Bowl ring. They addressed that. All right, and it didn't come. That play didn't come back to bite them. Okay, I agree, and I got no problem with Hunter, with Harrison Butker. Okay, really, I don't. And like I said, he's missed a few extra points. He hasn't done anything. They haven't done anything to lose the game yet. But I just like to foreshadow and look at small little things that don't come back. Yeah. As a coach,
right.
You look at things. That's what I'm
doing. I hear you. I hear you. Proactive. Yeah. Proactive as opposed to reactive. Tommy, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, listen, you know, to your credit, the first thing you said was, I'm calling a nitpick, right? You didn't say, holy cow, they're doomed. They'll be lucky to win another game. You said, I'm calling a nitpick. I will tell you that I feel comfortable with Dave Tobe handling the special teams. And their numbers aren't good now, and a lot of it is. I mean, they're crushed on the kickoff because you're right. They gave up the kick return for a touchdown. How many kick returns for a touchdown have they given up? Like, I don't remember many. Do you, Curtis?
No.
It isn't since 2013.
I'll look it up here.
We'll see where it is. Yeah. I mean, look, again, overall special teams-wise, they were number two last year. And that's from an analytics breakdown from Football Outsiders. You know, is that the end-all, be-all? No, it's not. Did they have some potentially really bad plays in the playoffs? They did. And then they were as much a part of digging the hole as the Houston Texans, but only as the same amount as they were digging out of it, was stopping the fake punt and blocking a punt of their own. I mean, that was as big a part as what the getting their punt blocked and Tyreek Hill dropping the ball. And what do you want to do? What did Dave Tobe do wrong with Tyreek Hill? You hate the idea of Tyreek Hill being back there? I don't. Do I think he's as good catching the punts now as he was when he was catching them every time? I don't. I think there's a risk, and I think there are times that you take that risk. They had something set up, a couple of games ago he went back there. I'm okay if Tyreek Hill goes back there every now and then. I'll take my chances, right? I think the Kansas City Chiefs play to win the game. As much as any coach out there, Andy Reid plays to win the game. He's aggressive. He's willing to throw the ball. He doesn't just sit and hide, you know, waiting for, you know, coming up with the safest call that he can have to make sure that he's got an answer for the post-game press conference. And I'm good with that. I'm good with it. I know he's been waiting patiently, so let's get Jim in here before we break. You're in the program, Jim. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
This is qualified by very nitpicky, too, but I just thought the clockwork at the end of that first half was a little clusterific. I mean, just to lay it out, you know, they had 1:11 left with all three, and Mahomes had that kind of scramble to the right. And I don't know that he realized that he wasn't out of bounds, but they let, like, 23 seconds go off, and then they called the timeout, and then they ran the play over the middle, and then they're at 16. So my point was like, well, A, you blew the 23 seconds, but B, maybe you just pulled the plug at 32. And then obviously the Kelce thing was just a physical mistake.
Hold on. When did they blow the 23 seconds? Because I'll give you the times on each play of that drive. A minute 7 is when they take possession of it. They run Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the right. 40 okay, so seconds from the shotgun. The next play is snapped. Right? Are you talking about the run to Edwards-Helaire? Because then after that, it snapped at 29, 23, and 16.
What was the play where Mahomes was at the right edge of the field and it looked like he thought he was out of bounds, but he wasn't. But the clock was running and they didn't call one between that play. That was my.
Mahomes sacked at the 17 for a 4-yard loss.
Yeah. I think he thought he was out of bounds and they should have used one then. Is my point.
Okay, so you're not frustrated with Mahomes. You're frustrated that they didn't burn the timeout right there.
Yes, like either. But then my larger point is just when they got to 32, I think they should have just said forget it and let's run it and punt it. But here's
the issue: they did take the timeout after that play.
Well, after the clock ran for 14 more seconds after they were running it. Like,
well, that's impossible because they snapped it at 40 and they took the timeout at 29.
No. The timeout was between the Mahomes thing and the next when they let the clock run.
I'm looking at the play log. 40 seconds, they snapped the ball. No huddle out of shotgun.
Right. No,
they take a timeout at 29. And in between the snap and the timeout, there was a play that occurred with him escaping the pocket and going all the way to the sideline.
But he didn't get out of bounds, right?
No, they took the timeout. My point is there's never a 23-second runoff, which was your initial point. And this play, from the time they snapped it to when they took the timeout, took 11 seconds. They never let 14, 15 seconds run off the clock.
Well, that's what I saw on TV. But my only other question – argument, and like I said, nitpick, no big deal, but when the Bills got the ball back, when they went into that Hail Mary prevent and let the 18-yard out, that didn't seem real brilliant either. You know, obviously they got the field. I think it would be more of a freak out if he'd obviously made it and they ended up going on to lose, but that seemed kind of bizarre to give him an 18-yard out to get out of bounds and then get the field goal off. But anyway.
It was a 15-yarder. Just
one
to be clear.
Where Diggs was uncovered.
And I appreciate the call. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you come up and press, or you've got a quarterback who can clearly reach the end zone from there. And what do you want to do? Do you want to protect? Do you want to go heavy against protecting, giving up a touchdown, or do you want to come up? That is a more difficult play defensively than I think people realize. We saw the Dolphins beat the Patriots by going underneath on that, and it's a pick your poison, right? How about this? Don't fumble the ball, Kelce.
Yeah.
But you're not in that spot, and Travis Kelce would be the first guy to tell you that. You could see how pissed he was when he fumbled that ball. That's a tough spot to be in when you're out there. You know, and particularly with a quarterback that can easily reach the end zone, which Josh Allen can. And I would rather be aggressive and get after the quarterback and try to limit how much time he's got to throw the ball than send the whole world back. I'll take my chances, you know, 4 against 4 in the back on a jump ball as opposed to trying to get 8 against 4. I'm with you from a standpoint of be aggressive up front. I'm not a big fan of that play call of giving the whole middle. But if you give the middle, I think what they feared more was the play that they ran against the Cowboys in 2017. And that's throw it to the middle and then try to get all the way into the end zone. I mean, at 6 seconds, it's kind of no man's land. Like, can you actually get a chunk of yardage that's good enough to get a field goal? Can you get that chunk of yardage off in 6 seconds? And I think they probably would tell you at 7, we play it differently. Or maybe it's 8 or 9. But at 6 seconds, we didn't think they could get a playoff. Tip your cap, they did something right. I mean,
the program with Seren Petro.
The 7 foot, 1 inch package of superhuman strength and sublime skill.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll play the feud with Todd Lebo coming up in our next hour. We'll talk to Keith right now. Keith, you're in the program. What's going on, buddy?
Yes, I just had a couple things. I guess the opinions people have, I thought nitpicking was yesterday. That means that's called success. And my other deal is on the feud. Is there any possibility you guys can play the 300? Because it's absolutely wonderful. Instead of playing the 200, play the 300.
Played at 300. Okay. All right. You know what? We'll take that under advisement, Keith. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, listen, it is good times. And Tommy Moe's a great fan. He's a great friend of the program. We love Tommy. And I like smart, intelligent calls. And, you know, it doesn't mean we got to agree. Tommy and I, you know, don't agree. I'm looking back here. 2018 special teams, again, according to Football Outsiders, Chiefs, second. 2017, let's just see. We'll just do it live, fourth. 2016, 1. 2015, I think I'm kind of making my point here far enough. Number 9, 2014, I want to go all the way back to Andy Reid's first year. 2014, number 3, and 2013, special teams rankings. Number 1. All right. And so based on that, real quick, Kay, based on that, yes, right now they're not good. They're number 29. I would venture to say that they'll certainly be in the top half, and history tells us they'll be a top 10, top 9 special teams at least. And if they're not, they do have a young punter who's got a big leg who doesn't know how to control it just yet. They got a different guy holding on extra points and field goals. Their kicker, who, yes, they invested a lot in, has looked really good, is still a fairly young kicker. I mean, there's reasons to understand why there might be a fall-off this year beyond Dave Tobe.
And before the Baltimore kickoff return, the last one was in 2010 against the Chiefs. That was the first one against the Chiefs in 10 years.
So it never had it happen against Dave Tobe.
No.
So.
Not in KC.
Listen, there's fewer kickoffs to return. Sometimes Tobe calls for him to just boot it out of the end zone and have no return. Sometimes they want to return. He said, hey, it was a new guy. We wanted to see what he's got, and we got beat. Simple as that.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, Tua Tagovailoa will make his first NFL start this Sunday. Who was the last left-handed quarterback to win a postseason game? Brought to you by Jazz and Louisiana Kitchen.